30 minutes, you may shout very high, Hallelujah! Amen. Among the many names that the Lord has, one of them is Adonai Shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, Adonai Shamar. And Adonai Shamar means the one who is there. This name is found in the last verse of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 48:35 tells us something very interesting. The last nine chapters of Ezekiel are connected with the restoration of Israel. And they describe both the rebuilding of a city and the rebuilding of a temple. And tremendous detail are given to us about the construction of the temple, the materials that are used, the dimensions of the temple, and so on. Then when the temple and the city are completed, a name is given to that city. Listen to this. Ezekiel 48:35. A very interesting name is given to that city. Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. New King James is good. Let's read it. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that day shall be?
The Lord is there.
The Lord is there. This name brings out, of course, the real purpose of building both the city and the temple. The purpose is that they should be a dwelling place for the Lord. It is as though the Lord waits until everything is complete, exactly the way he wants. Then he says, now, this is going to be my dwelling place. I'm going to be there. Then you say, all right, so what's the big deal about this? The word being there, if you do a deep study of the book of the Hebrew language and the Hebrew books, the background on this situation is a very interesting background. One of the major themes of the book of Ezekiel is the glory of the Lord. Did you know that? And God's glory is his manifest presence among his people. By saying that the name of the city will be Adonai Shammah, it means implicitly and clearly that God's glory, his manifested presence, will be among his people right here on earth. This is the presence of the Lord revealed in a way that you and I can detect by human senses, like our eyes, our ears, and so forth. The Hebrew word for that presence of God is Shekinah. You guys call Shekinah. Which comes from the word that means to dwell. It pictures God dwelling among his people. It pictures God being present, manifested among his people. Now, I have heard so many preaching about this God that lives in heaven, that whenever his children is going through a tough time, he's preparing to take them away to a distant planet called heaven. Now, I want to say this. Get this straight. I'm not saying that there isn't a heaven. There is a heaven. The point that we are missing is because of the faulty thinking that everything is evil down here, God has to take us to heaven, has prevented us from enjoying the full presence of God. When you have somebody that went to heaven and he will come to speak at church, the church is jam-packed because people want to have that same kind of experience. I got good news for you. You can have it. You can have it. Everything in creation, when God created, he created it to a point that would support a communication between heaven and earth. On Genesis 32, Jacob saw a ladder. A ladder connecting heaven to earth and angels coming back and forth. From day one, God created man. He didn't keep man in heaven. He created earth for man to dwell. And the Bible says that he would come every evening and have some fun time with man. You are with me so far, right? Well, the idea now that things got stuff here, we got to be moved away, go to heaven because things are bad here, is quite contrary to the word of God. Because at the end of the day, God wants to dwell with you and I here. Moses is out there in the desert, tending sheep. No life whatsoever in a desert. A little bit water here, a little bit of grass to graze down there. And then he comes to a point where he sees a fire that won't be quenched. And yet it wouldn't burn the sticks, you know, that were around, the little trees. And he said, that's interesting. And he goes close by and he starts looking at it and God said, whoa, 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 stop, Moses. And he stopped. Where are you, Lord? Take off your sandals because the place that you're standing is holy ground. I'm getting somewhere here. Moses took off his sandal. He marveled that the fire was burning the sticks, and yet it wouldn't be consumed. What I mean? That God's glory, God's presence was right there in the middle of 110 degree desert. You still with me, right? God told Moses, take off your shoes. He took off his shoes. Come close. He came close. And that was the kickstart of a life of supernatural experience that Moses had. He encountered God over there. God called him, I want you to go back and take my people out of Egypt. He went. All the miracles that took place, only Jesus had such amount of miracles as Moses did. Just count it. Only Jesus had more miracles than Moses. None of the prophets. Elijah had 20. Elisha had 40. How many Moses had? Count it. You'll find out. Then, at the auspices of his ministry, Moses is taken to the top of the mountain. God descends on the mountain again. The mountain became a blazing fire, and the Bible says it was jumping like a goat. Is that right? God came down to Mount Zion to talk to Moses. You're still with me, right? And when the God came in, the mountain couldn't take it. The mountain couldn't resist it. Why? Doesn't the Bible say that our God is a consuming fire? But yet, when he's in the midst of his people, Moses didn't die. Mount Zion was not destroyed. It was rather purified. And when Moses came down from that mountain, the Bible says that his face shone. of God's glory and presence. So what you're trying to say, preacher? The Lord is there. It's the manifestation, the tangible presence of God where your senses can see, can feel, can hear. A few weeks ago I came in, I think it was last week. And when I walked in the evening service, I'm looking at my wife, and then I just laugh, I just smile, then I back off. I back off, stay away, and she don't know what. I came back a few minutes later. She says, you know, the Lord is here. I can sense his presence. I can't see nothing, but I can sense. Then I laugh. You know, I smiled. What are you laughing at? Come up here. I said, because I just saw something. She said, what? I said, somebody was holding you just like this. Who? I said, you, Lord. I knew it. I could sense the presence, but I couldn't see it. God's presence can be tangible. It can be felt. You know, it can be heard. And in times it can be seen. Right now, God's glory is here in this place. Right now, at this precise moment, I can point to you where the pockets of glory is right now in this little place here. The Lord is there. He gave Ezekiel instructions. He gave the instructions how he wants the building to be built. Every single detail. And once it was done, he moved in. He waited until every bit of detail had been taken care of so he could move in. So, well, you say that you're going to talk how this happens in our church? Hold your horses. I'm not done yet. I still have 20 minutes, so don't get excited. At the opening of the prophecy of Ezekiel, God's glory was still in the temple in Jerusalem. But because of Israel continuing sin and rebelliousness, God had to withdraw his people, or his personal presence from among his people. His glory departed from the temple and then from the city. This is described in Ezekiel 11, 22 and 23. Brother, can you put up there? Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 22 and verses 23. I am going somewhere here. I want you to stay with me. Don't get all excited, right? And I promise I'm going to finish in 30 minutes, as I said. Listen to this. Ezekiel 11, 22 and 23. So the cherubim lift up their wings with the wheels beside them. And the glory of the God of Israel was and the glory of the Lord. God's glory can be lifted up from a place. When people continue in rebelliousness and disobedience, when people continue to sin, you know, when the word comes out to us, as I was saying today to the people on the morning service, unfortunately, we make the mistake of always looking things backwards. God doesn't look at his people as losers, as failure. God looks at you as a learner. You are a learner, not a failure. So when the word is spoken forth, grab a hold of the word. Do what the word do, and you will continue to live in victory. God's people were sinning so badly that the glory was lifted up from the midst of the city. And it stood on a mountain. At this point, God was so grieved by the sins of his people that he withdrew his presence from the temple and from the city. The glory of the Lord went out from the midst of the city, went away eastward, and hovered for a while over Mount of Olives to the east of the city. After the withdrawal of the Lord's glory, terrible judgments are predicted in the prophecies that follow, but always interspersed with these judgments are the promises of restoration. Then we come to the closing chapters of Ezekiel, which are the description of the restoration. The focus, the center, the most important part of all the restoration is the restoration of the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah in the temple. And it is described in Ezekiel 43, which I just read some scripture for you. But I want to read with you a few scriptures here. Brother, let's go to Ezekiel 43, verses 1 through 5, to describe the restoration. I want to prove a point here for you. Let's start, yeah. Afterward, he brought me to the gate that faced towards the east. When the glory lifted up, where did it go? Still remembering that, right? So now he's taken to the gate to face the east. Let's read it. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. The same place where it went, it's coming back. Let's read it. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. It was like the appearance of the vision which I saw, like the vision which I saw when I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple by the way of the gate, which faces towards the east. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me in the inner court. And behold, I will see you together here. Now it gets even more interesting. The Lord had come right back in the inner court of the house. Verse 6 and 7, brother. Let's scroll down a little bit. Give me 6 and 7. 6 and then 7, however you want to do it. Then I heard him speaking to me from the temple, while a man stood beside me. And he said to me, no more shall the house of Israel defy my name, they nor their kings, by their harlotry or with the carcass of their kings on the high places. The essence of these passages is the return of the visible, manifest presence of the Lord to dwell again with his people forever. Very often, we have the wrong impression of God's purpose. We think his ultimate purpose is somehow to get men to heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. But that really isn't so. God will take us to heaven because there's going to be a connection between heaven and earth that's going to be impossible to be broken. Nevertheless, I believe that it is also the other way around. One of God's major purposes is to bring heaven down to man. And above all, to bring his own personal presence to be among men. This was the purpose of every structure on earth. When God was building earth, it was the purpose of the tabernacle. What? Yes, the purpose of the tabernacle was to bring heaven down to man. It was the purpose of Solomon's temple. And if you remember, when Jesus was born, the Bible says that a son is born into us, and he shall be called Immanuel, which means God with us. God wants to be among his people. God wants to dwell among his people. God wants for each one of you to have visions of him. God wants you to walk into this place and feel his presence and feel his glory. God wants to mingle with us. And he did that despite of the fact that we lost the whole idea of the whole stuff. He sent his own son. And the name of the son is Immanuel. God is present with us. It is possible to achieve God's presence. You know, God wants to reside in the midst of Baltimore Christian Faith and never leave us. I want to take you to Revelation 21, 1 and 3. To prove you that God is interested in residing with you and I on planet Earth. Listen, folks, I'm not denying the existence of heaven. The time will come when we have a new heaven, a new earth. And there's going to be a high-speed traveling between heaven and earth because you and I will have new bodies. Huh? We'll have new bodies, transformed bodies that will not suffer the law of gravitation or the law of gravity. So you and I are going to be able to zip back and forth between heaven and earth. But until then, God wants to bring heavens down. And this is why I believe Jesus say, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now listen to this here. Now I saw a new heaven, a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city. He is the city. New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. This is the climax, the outworking of divine purpose of God in human history. Not that God would get man up to heaven, but that God would so deal with man as to make him fit to receive God's presence as a dwelling place on earth. Which makes me return back to Ezekiel. For God's purpose to be revealed. What is it? The name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. Well, somebody may be wondering, well, preacher, I thought you would say how God is working this thing among BCFC. I'm coming. Before I show you the last scripture, I want to tell you that it is the Lord's desire. It is the Lord's people to come in into our building, to come in into our lives, to come in and mingle with us. Prove it. I will. Brother Harry, can you put up there Ephesians chapter 2. Maybe we should start on verse 19. Yeah, that will. That will do. Let's start on verse 19. Ephesians 2, 19. I want you to read it with me. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members. You belong to God's household. Tell your neighbor, you belong to God's household. Now, listen to this same scripture on the backslider translation. Watch this. That's plain enough, isn't it? You are no longer wandering exile. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. Oh, glory. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all. irrespective of how we get here in what he is building. Did anybody just heard what God says in here? So what you're saying, Adonai Shammah, is you. Adonai Shammah is you. The Lord is there within you. God is training you to reside within you. God is training you to walk around with you. We had some fun this week. I'm thinking, how am I going to teach this thing to you people? I mean, some people are going to think I'm crazy. So that's all right. Well, can you give me a tip? Okay, what do you want? I said, I'm going to go biking tomorrow. If you're really going to do this, I want that every stranger in the bike trail that meet me say hi and smile. The Lord said, piece of cake. There's some rednecks on the place where we bike, and they're all puffed up. What are you doing here? So I jumped on the bike yesterday. I have a 100-pound bike that will kill you within 2 miles. And you know, from the moment I get into the trail, how you doing? Fine. And throughout the whole 6 miles of that trail, every single person that passed by me nod, smile, how you doing? And then I'm thinking, what is in the world is going on? I forgot about it. You know, I forgot about it. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on here? Is everybody high around here today? That was my first, you know, reaction. When they put my bike on the top of my truck, the Lord asked me, is that enough? And I'm thinking, I didn't get it. Remember what you asked me yesterday? It came back to me. People that I never knew, never met, some other people that looked to me with contempt and despisement. What is he doing? He don't belong here. These people look at me and they smile. How are you doing? I'm fine. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute. It is the glory of God being manifested. Amen. You are God's dwelling place. God, Adonai Shammah, wants to dwell within you. He's making a home within you because you're no longer strangers. You're no longer exiles. You are part of the gang. The gang of three, God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's go back to the New King James. You're no longer strangers. You're no longer foreigners. You are citizens of heaven. And you don't need any visa to get in there. Just take Jesus. Let's go to verse 20. Watch this. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now let me say something here before I continue reading. This is the reason that I'm so picky about sticking with the Bible. Some people don't like, some people will leave, but this is the reason that I'm so picky with the Bible, and now the cat is coming out of the bag. By hammering the scripture day in, day out, I am building on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Why am I doing this? Because I want Adonai Shammah to be here all the time. It's something that people outside cannot see, cannot understand. But there's a process. We want God's glory to be here all the time. And the more the days go, more is coming. Listen to verse 21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You are growing to be a holy temple in the Lord. Now, I'm going to close with verse 22. Watch this. In whom you also are being. Why? You've been built together for a dwelling place of the Spirit of God. So what's the conclusion, preacher? I'm a little lost here. When we speak Adonai Shema, it's to speak the tangible presence of God's glory, the Shekinah glory. Adonai Shema, the Lord is there, which means that the tangible, visible, fillable, if there is a word like this, presence of God is there. You is with me, right? Why would a God choose a place like this to be here? Because you have been built into a holy temple where God will dwell in His Spirit. And people will come and testify, surely God is in this place. Amen. That is the whole goal, folks. God wants to mingle with you. God wants to talk with you. God wants to show Himself to you. So if you have been selective, well, I can only obey this part of the Bible, not this. I can only obey that, not that. Stop this nonsense. We are being built right now on the foundation of the apostles, New Testament, and the prophets, Old Testament, so that we may become a place where God's glory will reside. Amen. The time is coming right around the corner when the people will come to our service on the new building and they're going to get healed on the parking lot. Amen. Nobody will have to pray. It's already happened. When we were in the old building, we've got several reports. People came. One lady fell on the parking lot. She literally fell. The presence of God hit this woman. She goes, there she goes down the floor. So some folks ran and picked her up. What happened? She said, I don't know. The presence of God was so strong I couldn't control myself and I went down. Now how did we know it was God? Because she wasn't hurt after that fall. If it was the devil, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So when the devil throws somebody on the floor, he throws unmercifully. And the person will be sore and painful. But she fell and it's just like nothing happens, like she had fell on a cushion, because the presence of the God of Israel is so strong. 3 weeks ago, we had some folks coming from the People's Republic of Virginia. And when they came in, we had a service. And when they were leaving, one of the ladies called me aside. She said, I'm a leader for home group. How can I have this? And I'm kind of clueless. What are you talking about? She said, the presence of God is so strong that I'm having goosebumps. Then she showed me. I said, I don't know. He just hangs out around here. I didn't want to go into this whole, you know, it would take hours to explain. I just tell you this. Read Ephesians chapter 1. Start on verse 19 and you're going to get all the answers you need. God is already here because you have been called together to become a building where the Spirit of God dwells. And may all of us throughout this week have the joy and the privilege to see God present with us in everything that we do. And there's a quick hope for you, quick help for you. If you would just make up your mind and decide to believe that you are led by the Spirit of God. Every decision that I make, I have no regrets because I choose to believe I am led by the Spirit of God. So every decision that I'm making is led in by the Spirit of God. Why? The Holy Spirit dwells in me. This is why it's always wise to stop, ponder, see what are we doing, and then we make a decision. And when we do, I don't look back. It's done. I do not look back. Why? I'm believing. I believe that I am led by the Spirit of God and I'm not backing off. If it's not like this, life is miserable. When you decide, somebody asked me recently, how can I put this thing in a simpler word? The Bible says, acknowledge Him in all your ways and He shall direct your path. How do we do that? So a very simple way to put it for you is this. You're going out now to buy some food, right? Right. You're planning to go to Giant and then you find yourself on Sam's Club. Instead of, oh my God, why am I in Sam's Club? Thank you, Jesus, for bringing me to Sam's Club. What? Why would I do that? Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Amen. Are you with me here?
Yes.
I went out thinking to buy this, and then I ended up buying this. Why did I do that? Thank you, Jesus, for bringing me here to buy this stuff. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Nothing that you do is bad unless you intentionally decide to do bad. Oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to hurt Sister Jenny. That's different. But this is not the case. When you decide, willingly decide that you're going to go out and do bad, then you're being led by your flesh. Acknowledge God in all that you do. Let God manifest His glory through you. And you're going to find yourself in a line in the cashier asking, what is it with you? Something's different about you. You can tell them, Adonai Shema. What? What is that? God is here with me all the time. Wherever I go, He's going around with me. Really? Yeah. Be natural. Because you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Say with me, I carry God around with me. And I'm not going to let it go. Say again, I carry God around with me. And I am not going to let it go. I carry God around with me. I am a dwelling place of God. Amen. Father God, may Your Word find places in our hearts. Indeed, may Your Word find places in our hearts. And we trust that You will continue to be with us. We want to get rid of all things that are sinful, and things that grieve the Holy Spirit, because we enjoy Your presence. And that's where we belong, in Your presence. So we are giving You permission to invade our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, change things around, and do things as You wish. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. God bless you.
At this time, we're going to take up an offering. We can get both of them done at the same time, I think. The offering for the church and the offering for the building fund. Mark it the way you want with the envelopes, designate which one is which. While you're doing that, we're going to have a men's meeting. I think most of you here know that on Sunday we have two services, one at 10 and one at 7. And on the first Sunday of the month, we have one at 2, what's called a healing service at 2 o'clock on this coming Sunday. Also, there'll be a men's meeting this Saturday. We're studying the book of Proverbs, and we're in chapter 2. The women will meet here at 9:30 as usual, and then there's the Shabbat classes for the children, I think, at 11 o'clock. One other announcement I'm going to make. Ron Cannoli, I think most of you know him. He'll be here Wednesday, July the 31st, and I think we're going to have a tent over there. Keep that in prayer on your neighbor's property. Our lovely neighbors, just lift them up in the name of Jesus. Okay, Father, we just bless this offering. We just bless You, oh God, and we give You the praise and the glory for this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor, you want to close out this, or Sister Marcia got an announcement?
Praise the Lord. There's one sister that is in need of a visitation. Sister Minnie Davis. You remember Sister Minnie? Sometimes she wears a hat. She usually sits beside Brother, what's his name? James Caldo. Brother James, one that comes all in a nice suit, has gray hair, sits all in the back. So Sister Minnie had, she always telling me, when you don't see me in church, something happened to me. And she missed about 3 weeks, and we talked over the phone. Well, she fell. She took a fall, and, you know, I think she broke her knees or something like that. And there's complications following. So it has been a long journey. She's overwhelmed. But she gave me a call this past week. And, you know, I think she was overwhelmed. She cried over the phone. And I never saw her crying before. And it's like it has been hard. It's hard. Recovery is very, very hard. And takes so long, and that you are not able to do what you are not just yourself. That makes you feel awful, you know how it is. So, unfortunately, I was looking at my person. I can't find her phone number. You know, every time when you change purses, you know, come tired of using one, and then you don't have time to put everything back in the other one. So I left it at home. But if you want to give her a call, visit her. You know, she has dialysis three times a week. Has been this for a couple of years. And just give her a call. And maybe if God speaks to your heart, visit her. Encourage her. You know, pray for her. Pray with her. Just be the brother and sister at this hard time. Okay? Her name is Minnie Davis. Just remember Minnie Cooper, yeah. And we remember Minnie, Sister Minnie. And talk to me afterwards if you want to contact her. I will provide you her phone number. Thank you. God bless.
Stand on your feet, please. We'll be back 10:30 this coming Tuesday morning. How to keep you healing.